We're in our part two of discerning the times we're in. Excuse me. How's that better? Is that right? Discerning the times we're in. Now, you can look at this two ways. You can discern the times we're in by watching the news. And by watching everything they're saying. Or you can discern the times that we're in the kingdom of God. Where we want to be is in God's will. Look at the world and what God is about to do right now. Because what you're seeing right now, I mean, there was a lot of unrest in the 60s with the Black Panthers and all of that stuff. And it was Bobby Seals. And I was there in New Haven, Connecticut, where he was arrested and his henchmen. And big movements saying they're railroading him into the electric chair. Well, the thing is, he tortured and murdered a policeman. I mean, he was, and now they're making it look, this has been going on for years. What we're seeing right now, and look at that birth. That whole thing birthed a whole revival, a charismatic revival, in the 70s, and got me saved, and a lot of people saved, and we didn't know where this world was heading at the time. I was a hippie. I played in rock bands, man. So, and I knew where I was going, and I hadn't grown, and I thought it was a hot shot. And then I met Jesus. Found out I wasn't such a hot shot anymore. And but I was the object of his love. Pride is an ugly thing. It is ugly. Pride is the nature of God's number one enemy and your number one enemy. And you need it eradicated from your life. And when you do, a lot of the devil's devices that we're going to be talking about, know the enemy's devices, will just come right out of your life if you deal with certain things. So I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And you know, the Bible says in Psalm 138 verse 2, it says that God has magnified his word above all of his name. Now his name is powerful. It is the highest name above every name that is named. There is no higher name than Jesus. But God says, I have magnified my word above all of my name, which stands to reason, because if a person's word is no good, his name is no good. If God's word is no good, then his name is no good. This is why he watches over his word to fulfill it, to perform it and everything, because it cannot go unfulfilled. Otherwise, he would be a liar, and he wouldn't be God anymore. You know, if God said 2 + 2 = 5, the entire universe would rearrange itself and line up to accommodate that word. That's just an example. But I'm saying that's why everything he says will come to pass, because he can't help but do it. Because God is in that word. It's a living thing. Is that good? And God says, I have magnified, I have treasured my word more than my very own name. And here's the beautiful thing about it. He has taken that word and wrapped it all up and gifted it to you. Something that is more valuable to him than his own name. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, apparently there had been somebody who came into the Corinthian church and hurt either one or a few of the believers, and he did some damage. And Paul was telling them how to address it, and he said this. He said, "Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive, for if indeed I forgive anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now, we're talking today about knowing the enemy's devices. Why is this important? Why is walking in forgiveness important? Think about it for 5 minutes. No, not now, but when you're home. Right now, just perk up, listen here. We need to know these devices because these are the things that set trends, that initiate trends in cultures and in nations. This is how he gets leaders of nations locked up in his lies. And they start making wrong decisions. Why? Because they're mad at somebody. Or they want to get an advantage over somebody who's hurt them. This is real stuff. It sounds kind of, really? Really. It is real. These are the trends that divide and enslave people in their sin. Strip them of their freedom and subjugate them and dominate. Dominion. It hasn't changed since the garden. And we're still not smart enough to figure that out. Paul was singling out one of those devices, and it's called unforgiveness. And I can say this in talking with people, counseling people over the years, I'd say probably the number one sin of the church, one failing of the church, is unforgiveness. It's a biggie. It is a big. Not one of us here hasn't been hurt by somebody, hasn't had words that have hurt us, or said things that are hurtful to people. Not one of us. But are you going to hold on to that and let that bring you down? Or are you going to walk in a higher level of love? That's your decision. God gives that decision to you. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. He tells you to walk in love. So whose responsibility is that?
Mine.
Yeah. So number one is unforgiveness, having aught against your brother, holding something against them, holding a grudge, is getting into a really lonely place. And number two, unforgiveness is really impossible unless it's driven by pride, hypocrisy, judgmental attitudes, you name it. As soon as you get into unforgiveness, you can almost feel the devil take the handcuffs out, bring you into the courts, and get you judged. That's what he wants to do. That's the plan. He wants you incarcerated. He wants your faith contained. He wants your hope destroyed. You know, every day is a brand new day. The sun comes up and gives you a brand new day, every single day. And you can fill it with hope and love and power and blessing. Or you can be bitter. And they need to apologize to me. You know, can I see a show of hands here? Who among us has never sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Nobody? Oh. How many of you have sinned and fallen short of it? By a show of hands. That's everybody. That puts us all in the same boat, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That brings the same liability to every one of us.
Yeah.
So if your brother sins against you, your sister sins against you, why would you not lift them up? Because in lifting them up, you're freeing yourself.
Yeah.
If you judge them and demand forgiveness from them, if you demand from them an apology, what you're doing is you're placing yourself under that their obligation, which you have no control over, and that obligation will drive you and drive you and drive you, and that offense will become bigger in you until it bleaches all the anointing right out of you. And before you know it, you say, you know, I used to walk with God. What happened? Unforgiveness is the mimicking of the nature of your enemy. By the way, the enemy has been totally judged with no recourse. He's is irredeemable. Excuse me. The rotten fruit of Satan's existence has littered human history with torture and pain most of us cannot even conceive of. You're a wonderful person, Joel. He loves to inflict pain, torture. Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Saddam Hussein, Mao Zedong, Kim Jong-un, ruthless, and now you've got President Xi, if you can call him president, he's a dictator. China, with hundreds of thousands of people enslaved in slave labor camps, fed little, if anything, and if they die off, they just get new prisoners and put them in there. These men are going to find out once they get out of their bodies that they're not that big shot they thought they were. Because the first will be last. They've tortured and killed untold millions, and their father, the devil, was the author of all of it. What did they do? They mimicked the devil. You have never met a crueler being. You have never met a more self-centered, proud, arrogant, ugly, rebellious being, a lying, double-crossing maggot. My apology to all maggots everywhere.
Yeah, right.
Than the devil. He is absolutely, irretrievably, unbelievably irredeemable. God has already judged him. In fact, some of the more powerful demons are chained in darkness, it says in the book of Jude, until the time that they'll be thrown in the bottomless pit with their Lord. And a bottomless pit remains. Why would you want to mimic the devil by walking in unforgiveness? Because here's the thing. All of his devices, all of his plots, all of his strategies have only served to enslave him, the devil himself. It's all done to capture him in his own gang. That's all his plots have ever done. And when you mimic him, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. You will get caught up in your own deal. So when you watch the news, COVID, you can't go 2 minutes on the news without hearing COVID.
That's not true.
Fear. Look at all those Christians absolutely rebelling against the governor and standing out on that beach worshiping God. They wouldn't even say that because they don't even want to draw attention to thousands of people who wouldn't go see God. They want to hate them. They don't want to shine the light on them because what they're doing, they'll cast the light on themselves and showing that they are in the wrong. Because every tongue that rises up in judgment against us will be condemned. That's not a pride thing on our part. That's what God said about us. And the truth is what God says about you. God seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. What is the truth? Remember Pilate said, what is truth? Truth is what God says about you, regardless of what your circumstances say, regardless of what your past says, regardless of what your body says about you, regardless of your mind and your mind. Truth is what God says about you. And as soon as you pick up that truth and start applying it in your life as if it was yours and walking in faith, that's when it'll start manifesting.
Right, yeah.
And the truth will make you free.
Amen.
Amen.
Boy, I love that verse. Yes. He who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Yes.
Woo! Glory to God. Mm. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Boy, that should have, you know, I can see we're off to a rip-roaring start here today talking about unforgiveness. So, who does the Bible tell us to mimic? Look at this. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. You know what the next verse says? And walk in love as Christ has also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. We've all judged people. We have all been locked up in a headlock of unforgiveness for a period of time. Maybe some of you are still there. Let's send a scanner of your intercessor to intercede and to determine the need in your heart right now. That's what he's there for. He's not there to condemn you. He's there to help you root things out of your life so that the blessing can be full. We've all accused others, told lies to our parents and other people. Don't lie to your parents, kids. Well, most of us here are grown up, so if your mother says, do I look old? That's a trap. You don't love me anymore. You don't come and visit me. We've all deceived people, been prideful, and we've all, every one of us, has hated somebody, haven't we? Say yes. Say yes.
Yes.
I have hated somebody. At one point, whatever. Where does that put me? Puts me, the ground is level at the cross.
Yep.
1 John chapter 3, verse 15 says this. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Stop right there. Because God doesn't look on the action. He looks at the heart that causes the action.
Mm-hmm.
Cain rose up and slew Abel. And as far as Cain was concerned, he was totally justified in it because he looked at Abel as a spoiled brat. But he wasn't. He was righteous. This is what's happening in the world now, where those who are in the wrong are calling it right. They're trading good for evil and evil for good. That's exactly the same thing that's happening. This is discerning the times. But we discern it from the standpoint of the authority that God has given us to declare truth into this world. And don't be afraid to hold back. Don't be afraid to declare what God says.
That's right.
Truth is never wrong, and God will vindicate you.
Yes.
Not to judge them. I mean, just because God shows you something doesn't mean you should just bring it out and let them have it. Let's speak the truth in love, the Bible says. We grow up into him in all things. So what did Jesus do? He gave his life for us. And that alone is proof to us that there is no greater weapon in this entire world than love. You know, Abraham Lincoln once appointed a man who absolutely hated him. He talked against Lincoln. He talked against everything that Lincoln stood for. He was a bigot. He was for slavery and everything. Well, Lincoln promoted him to a place that had a lot of authority, and people said, why did you do that? Don't you know who this guy is? He said, if I've won him as a friend, I've eliminated my enemy. How do you overcome evil with good? Not by lowering yourself to its level and squabbling and locking people up with your opinion about them. The guy changed, and he realized that he had a responsibility, and realizing he had that responsibility, he changed. Thank God for repentance. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for his love and his grace. Oh, doesn't God have a much higher walk for us? Yes. Something that is so outstanding and so great, so much higher. When you walk in love, you can never fail. But once you decide to imitate your Father, imitate Jesus, the devil can't stop you no matter how hard he tries. Because when you start doing that, God will start to show you how to walk in the way that Jesus walked. Remember when they were going to stone him and he walked right through the midst of them? When they were pushing off a cliff, he walked right through the midst of them. How did he do that? Forgiveness. Forgiveness caused him to walk in a higher law. He knew that they where they were at. It says in the last part of John chapter 2, it says God, Jesus didn't need anybody to bear witness of what was in man, for he knew what was in man, and it wasn't good. But he knew that they were helpless to help themselves, and he had to step in and do it. He walked in forgiveness because he saw they were unable to walk in love. They were trapped by the devil, and that's where the enemy was, and that's what he came to do. So when you walk in love and God starts and you start imitating Jesus, you start imitating the Father, here's what happens. He starts to show you how to wrap the devil, who the real enemy is, not people. Mm-hmm. We don't war against flesh and blood. How to wrap the devil up in his own devices. Because what Jesus did, he wrapped him up in his own devices, cast him down, stamped on his head so hard that the devil is still quivering from it, and he never wants to hear that name ever, ever again. Especially when you say, in the name of Jesus, my Lord, I declare, you are finished. Take your sickness, take your poverty, take all your lack, take that thinking, and go somewhere else. Go somewhere else for that. So when you start imitating him, get ready for God, for the Holy Spirit. And as Sherry shared, he'll start showing you how to wrap that devil up and liberate people from evil things. The wisdom of God. Here's what happens. It says that Jesus is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus has been made unto us wisdom. You need wisdom? It's in you. Christ is in you. Okay. You still out there, or are you gone home yet? You know, it's no wonder why the news media just keeps on putting that stuff in front of you. And they're not telling you, basically, they're not giving you journalistic facts. They are telling you how to think. They are telling you what to think. They are telling you that you need to agree with them, otherwise you are racist and you're a bigot. And if you disagree with us, you will be destroyed. You got the cancel culture going out now. That if you don't agree with them, that you need to be dealt with. Political correctness keeps on rising up, and then it's revealed, and then it rises up, and then it's revealed. Don't get caught up in that stuff. It's no wonder. I mean, you know what that's all designed to do? It's to lock you up in a bitter, unforgiving, judgmental attitude towards people who don't know their right hand from their left. When we, all this time, we've been called to walk in a much higher law of love.
Yeah.
James called it the law of liberty. It's the royal law, he's called it. It's the law of love that the devil has no idea, he has no defense for it. He has no answer for it. So he gets you to get down off of that love couch and down in his mud bank and start talking about everybody and these liberals and these Democrats. Da, 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 da. And it's like, okay, so you're the judge now? You don't even have the facts. Here's the highest fact you can ever get etched into your mind. God is love. He loves them. He died for them. We haven't been called to judge them. We've been called to give them, to love them, and to show them the love of God. Period. Don't complicate it. When we react the way they react, we're getting down off of that. We are forfeiting our authority, and we're submitting it to the devil. Is that too blunt? I'm sorry. No, I'm not going to apologize for the truth. But I'm sorry it may hurt. But it hurts good. Well, what am I supposed to do? Let them just take advantage of me and just walk all over me? And then, what did Jesus do?
Right.
Finally, he laid it down, but before that, he just walked right through them. That should have been a huge clue. I mean, the Pharisees, I mean, they carried rocks under their robes, you know what I mean? Just like that. And can you imagine him preaching and all of a sudden he sees one of them go, but he knew that he said, he who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And it says they dropped their rocks from the oldest to the youngest. And you see, young people are filled with pride, and it's hard for them to see their own mistakes. It's hard to see that they could be wrong about something. That's what pride does, it blinds you to that. The older men saw it right away. They knew that they had nothing. No ammunition. They had no reason. Because as they stood as judges, you get anything out of this morning?
Yes.
That was pretty weak. Okay. Well, I can see we're off to a rip-roaring day today. 1 Peter chapter 2. That was good. Just that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. It says this about Jesus. He committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. God will not take your side when you're reviling people who revile you, when you're picking up rocks to throw at them. He won't play in that mess. But when you commit yourself to him who judges righteously, Lord, you know them, you know me. I don't know why they do the things they do. I can't see inside of them. I'm not their judge. But you are. And I ask that you just take me and make me the kind of person that they need me to be.
Yeah.
So that they can see the light that's in me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a good one. Yeah, they killed Jesus. But God raised him from the dead. And set him at his own right hand, far above all powers, principalities, mights, and dominions, and every name that's named, and gave him that name. And every knee will bow to that name.
Yep.
There is nothing that the devil can take, including your life, that God won't pay you back 100-fold and more.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. There's nothing that you can lose. A reputation that he can't restore. You're on the winning side here. When you're united with him, you are with the very one who withheld judgment from you. Always mimic God, be quick to forgive, slow to wrath, and easily persuaded by the truth. Don't argue with the truth. You'll lose. Truth always wins. Ephesians 2:8. Let's look at this one. For by grace you are saved, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ for good works. Now, religion will tell you you do good works and then you'll be accepted by Christ. It's not the way it works. You have been created in Christ, birthed in Christ for works that he's already prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. What are some of those works? When did he ordain those works that we're supposed to walk in? This is where we need to pick up a little bit. Where did he ordain those works that we should walk in them? He did it at the Last Supper. This is powerful. Because in John chapter 14, you've heard me say this before. John 14, 12. Well, he didn't find that. In John 14, 12, he said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever believes in me shall do the works that I do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." This is when he ordained these works that are prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What are some of those works? Well, he taught the truth. He wasn't afraid to tell the truth. He wasn't afraid to come against religious mindsets that were holding people in bondage and holding a culture in bondage to serve the elite.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He walked among them and took on the form of a servant, a minister. That's what a minister is, by the way. They are servants. Nowadays in churches, we see that the ministers are served. You can have it. I've been there. I don't want it. We need to adjust. We need to get back to ground zero with Jesus, where our life is hidden in Christ, in God. The greater works. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do all. What did he do? He healed the sick. What did he tell us to do? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I have given you power over to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Did he say that?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that word valued in heaven?
Yes.
Above the name of Jesus?
Yes.
Is that the word that God honors, so that when you see somebody sick and you go lay hands on them, they will recover?
Amen.
Why? Because I've got myself together? No. It's because I'm doing the word of God that's honored in heaven.
Yes.
It's God's word, no matter who's speaking it.
Yes. Right.
And he honors his word.
Yes.
You know, the church has been filled with charlatans, and he honored their word. I don't understand it. I don't, but he does. I don't understand that any more than he loves me. I was a drugged out rock and roller who didn't know up from down or down from up. I had no idea about life or anything about that was me. A drugged out, alcoholic, drunk, addicted to everything you can get addicted to. But God. But God was rich in mercy. In the love wherewith he loved me. This is a personal thing. Do you see these greater works and how the devil tries to rob them and rip the anointing right out of us by getting us locked up in the same things this world is locked up in?
Yeah.
What we are operating as under the God of this world, we are not operating under the God of heaven. But when we honor his word and mimic God and imitate God and do the things that Jesus did, all of a sudden we'll be able to do the things that Jesus did. Why? Because we're honoring his word, which is honored in heaven, and he who honors him, God will honor.
That's good.
It's not because you're perfect. It's not because you're right about everything. You don't have to, you know, you can win all the arguments and lose everything. Because it's not about you being right. It's It's about you being righteous.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference. Pharisees were right about everything. And Jesus says, no, you aren't. Because the weightier parts of the law, righteousness, mercy, and faith, you've omitted. Let's get back to ground zero. Then when your body says, I'm sick, something rises up on the inside of you and says, who told you that? Who told you that? By whose stripes we were healed. God doesn't call you the sick. He calls you the healed. Let's start there. Something rises up and says, no, 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 no. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. For it is written, 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 honored in heaven above his name. It is written. Cursed is everybody that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on me. That rhymes. The tree with me rhymes. That the blessing of Abraham might come on me through Jesus Christ, that I might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Do you know what? The devil loves to accuse you. And part of his accusations comes out in symptoms of sickness. Don't grab it. Don't say, oh yeah, I have this diagnosis. First of all, you don't have it. That's something that is on the discussion table that the devil is trying to say, here, this is yours. You say, yeah, I have this pain. You just claim, you just took it. Jesus said, take no thought, saying. Take no thought, saying. Take no thought, saying. You have believed it in your head, you believed it in your heart, you spoke it with your mouth. It's a reality. But we have so much better. We have the blessing of Abraham at work that has already been given us in Jesus. And it doesn't say that the blessing of Abraham is ours by faith. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. If you receive Jesus Christ, you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. Now you need to enforce it in your life.
Right.
That is what the power of the Spirit does in our lives. I don't know how I got on that. But get rid of the offense, get rid of the anger, get rid of all that soup that the devil has for you. He can't wait to throw those cuffs on you and say, Lord, he's God. He doesn't call him Lord. This person has judged people. He has not forgiven them. He's accusing you before the throne. Now the Father is your judge. Jesus is your defense attorney. And the devil's got you on the stand, and Jesus is sitting back there, your defense attorney, and the devil is inquisitioning, accusing you, and Jesus is saying, just say this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just say this. Just say this. Who has forgiven? I have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 1. For by grace I have been saved through faith, not of myself. It's the gift of God. Necessary items. Not a whole lot of chandelier swinging on this stuff, but this will get you free. You need it. Sometimes you gotta eat your vegetables. The broccoli. You know, when I was a kid, I hated asparagus. I absolutely hated it. Now I love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, if you start doing something, you'll start to like it. If you start forgiving somebody, you'll start walking that way.
Yeah.
If you start loving people, you'll just start walking that way.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're locking up your enemy and all of his devices.
Yeah.
And don't think this is light. When I said Jesus stomped the devil in the head so hard that he's still feeling, that was prophesied in the garden. Mm-hmm. You will bruise his head. He kicked him so hard he bruised his own heel. Mm-hmm. Did it for you. Mm-hmm. To show you that love is the greatest weapon you have. Mm-hmm. And forgiveness is what pulls the trigger and releases that love. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the eternal truths that never change. We thank you for the fact that your spirit in us never changes and always brings us back to center. Always brings us back into your perfect will for us. And Lord, we right now commit to you that we will not be forgetful hearers, but we will be doers of the word. And we will be blessed in our deeds. We'll take these words with us. And we will walk in the love that you loved us with. We'll walk in the forgiveness that you forgave us with. For we have the kingdom of God on the inside of us. And we will operate in that kingdom, the kingdom of love, so that this world will see a light that they have never seen before, and they will see it can be done, it is real, we will do it, we'll walk after you, we'll imitate you. In Jesus' name, help us to do that. We rely on you. Our strength is in you. Thank you, Father. Amen.